Our second scripture reading is from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. It can be found on page 227 of your pew Bibles. And I invite you again to hear the word of God. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was just starting out as a pastor, the first thing I did in my first week at my first church was to completely change the order of worship. Probably not the best way to begin my relationship with that congregation. In my defense, it needed to be changed. It was all over the place. The announcements were like right in the middle of worship, and there was no rhythm or flow to it. Everything was just kind of out of joint. I probably should have waited a while before doing that, but I was young and excited and saw something that needed to be changed, and so I changed it. But what I remember most about that experience is how the very next day, Monday morning, the day after my first Sunday with this church, Bill walked into my office. Bill walked into my office a lot throughout the years. Bill came in and slammed down on my desk a bulletin from 10 years earlier and said, this is the way that we have always worshipped. This is the way that we want it. This is the way that it needs to be, so you need to change it back. Nice to meet you too. I tried to explain to Bill the reformed understanding of worship, that there are reasons that we do certain things at certain times in certain places, but it didn't matter. That congregation had been experiencing so much change. The previous pastor had been there for over 30 years, and now all of a sudden Bill has a new pastor who's young enough to be his grandson, and in the midst of all of that change, everything that was kind of up in the air around them, I had changed the one thing in his mind that was sure and certain and stable. It was this feeling of everything else in this church might be changing, but at least I know that I can come here on Sunday mornings and I know what to do. I know when to do it. I know when to stand, when to sit, when to sing. At least I know that I can depend on that structure. That will not change until I changed it. In the past couple of weeks, we have been seeing a lot of changes taking place in our country. A Supreme Court ruling that leads us to debate questions like, can we change marriage? A 21-year-old gunman changing how we talk about race and forcing us to struggle with questions like, can we change our history as a country with things like the Confederate flag? Can we change that? Bruce Jenner, now known as Caitlyn Jenner, forces us to confront questions like, can you change your gender? Rachel Dolezal, the white woman who lived for years as a black woman because she says she identifies as black, forces us to ask questions like, can you change your race? All of these institutions and constructs that seem so set, so unquestionable, are being challenged and changed before our very eyes. And all of these changes seem to be happening so rapidly. I mean, people spent decades debating the whole Confederate flag thing with minimal change ever being affected. But after those shootings in Charleston, it was like that. It was done. I remember seeing all this and thinking, that was fast. And there was a point the other week where it's like you wake up in the morning and you think, okay, what's going to happen today? Like, what's going to change today? I was talking to a good friend of mine about all this, and this conversation that I had with him is what kind of gave me the idea for this sermon, made me think that we need to talk about all of this, because he said to me at one point, I feel like our country, like our world is changing very quickly. And it wasn't a commentary on whether that change is good or bad, it was just this observation that, wow, there is a lot of long-standing stuff that is shifting right now. What do we do with that? I think that's a feeling that a lot of us, on some level, can relate to. It's like the quote on the cover of the bulletin this morning from the movie Gangs of New York. It says, "The earth turns, but we don't feel it move. And one night you look up, one spark, and the whole sky is on fire." Like, we don't feel these changes taking place until all of a sudden they explode all around us, and we realize that the world is spinning under our very feet. And we've even been experiencing it here, right? With Michael and Chris leaving not long after a new pastor has just come in, this feeling that things are changing here. Things are changing around us. What do we do with all of that? How do we, as followers of Jesus Christ, faithfully navigate these shifting seas? The early church dealt with very similar feelings. And we glimpse some of that in our reading from Acts. This reading in chapter 11 is kind of a summary of a much longer story that's just happened in chapter 10. But the church has been growing, taking shape, figuring out who it's going to be and what it's going to look like. And up to this point, there were not Christians. We actually hear that at the end of this chapter. It says that for the first time they started being called Christians. But up to this point, they were not Christians. Jesus was Jewish, viewed as a Jewish Messiah, and his earliest followers, almost all of them, were Jewish. So the church was, it kind of felt like a new expression of Jewish faith. But now that they're growing and the message of Jesus is reaching all these new people, they're forced to confront this question of, can non-Jewish people be a part of this? Do they have to become Jewish first? Do they have to be circumcised and observe these laws and do all of these things that we have to do? They're basically looking at what has been the core of their identity for centuries and asking, can this change? Should this change? I mean, Peter had his whole world shaken by this vision and encounter with Cornelius. You know, Peter is a good, faithful Jewish man. He had always understood God and his relationship with God to work a certain way. And a big part of that was keeping God's law as far as what is considered clean and unclean. So he has this vision that totally blows all of that out of the water. God showing him all of these unclean animals and saying, eat them. And then he kind of puts that together with this encounter with Cornelius, a Roman soldier who would have been considered unclean. And Peter says, well, if God can make those things clean, then what does that mean for Gentiles like Cornelius? And you just can't emphasize enough what a massive, radical shift that was for Peter and for the Christians around him. It was like everything they had ever believed or known or understood about God and faith had been turned completely upside down. So they really had to struggle with these questions and these changes. A lot of times, when we are faced with changes in culture and the church, what we'll do is we'll retreat into our traditions. We'll kind of circle the wagons and turn in on what we know and what we've always been and done. We'll kind of double down on how we've always done things. We will almost insulate ourselves from these changes. Phyllis Tickle is an author and church historian, and she says that there is almost a natural inclination in institutions like the church and other religious institutions to resist change, to preserve the institution, the status quo. And a lot of times when faced with change,
the argument that is made is that we do not change. We don't change who we are or what we do because God does not change. And we appeal to this verse from Hebrews. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're going to come back to that verse in just a minute. But what we see throughout the story of Acts is that when the church is confronted with change or challenges to its identity and tradition, it does not ultimately resist. It does not insulate itself or retreat into its traditions. It does not circle the wagons and say, this is how we've always understood things, this is how we've always done things, and that cannot change. They didn't just close themselves off to what was going on around them. Each step of the way, the church tries to discern how God might be present and at work in the changes taking place around them. They open themselves up to the possibility that God is at work in these changes. They open themselves up to the possibility of the enlarging embrace of God. Not because they don't believe in anything or they don't stand for anything or that nothing matters or anything goes, so we can change whatever we need to meet these changing trends. Not because of that, but because the church then understood something that we really need to recapture now. That there's tradition and there's tradition. Let me show you what I mean. I asked for two volunteers, so if you can come with Chris, come up. Have you come and stand right here and hold that up. Have you right here and hold that up. Okay, so you can see we have tradition with a capital T here and tradition with a lowercase t. If you can turn around, they might not be able to see it on the sides here. Make sure everybody can see. Okay, everybody see it? We have tradition and we have tradition. So, Diana Butler Bass is another author and church historian who talks about this. And she says that you can understand tradition in two ways. There is tradition with a capital T, and there is tradition with a lowercase t. Big T tradition deals with core identity issues. This is who we are. This is what we are about at our very core. Little T tradition is about the ways that we practice and live out this big T tradition. See what I'm getting at? So these are like the customs, the acts, the practices, the ways that we make this stuff manifest. Big T tradition does not change, or at least very, very rarely changes. Little T tradition can, and some would argue that in order to survive, must change. So when we look at the church, an example of big T tradition has always been caring for the poor. Right? That is something that the church has been about since its inception, is taking care of people who are poor, providing for them, helping them. The ways that we care for the poor, though, have changed throughout the centuries. We have a tradition, big T, of worshiping God. That is something that we are about at our very core. The ways in which we worship God, though, have changed throughout the centuries. We have a tradition of celebrating the Lord's Supper. That is something central to who we are, this meal. Sometimes we pass the trays around. Sometimes we come forward. The way that we live this out changes. We have a tradition of baptism. That is central to who we are as Christians. But we practice baptism in lots of different ways. Some Christians sprinkle, some immerse, some do it in rivers, some do it in indoor pools. The ways that we practice it can change. Think about how this plays out in your own family. You might have a tradition of getting together for holiday meals, right? That is something that is central to your family. When I was growing up, Christmas Eve dinner was always at my grandmother's house. We would go to worship on Christmas Eve, then we would go to my grandmother's house and have dinner. Every year, that is what we did. But as years passed, there came a time when that couldn't happen anymore. My grandparents didn't have that house anymore. So did we just stop having Christmas Eve dinner? Of course not. We started having it at my mom's house, and now we have it at our house. We adapted to meet the needs of changing times while staying faithful to this thing that was central to who we are as a family. See what I mean? Big T tradition is about who we are, our identity, our mission, our purpose. Little T tradition is about how we live that out, our practices. And our practices can change. Traditions, little T, can change while still remaining faithful to the tradition. And here's the thing. We see this very same thing at work in God. We always say that God never changes, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But of course, God changes. We would not be here if God did not change, because God changed his very form, took on flesh and blood, and became human in Jesus. Jesus had always been God since before the beginning of time, had always been a part of the nature or the tradition of God, if you want to use that language. But God had always related humanity one way. And there came a time when God said, now I'm going to relate to humanity in this new way. And something about God changed. God changed in the story from Acts. For centuries, God had said, do not eat what is unclean and do not associate with Gentiles. It was God's law written in stone. But now God says to Peter, what I have made clean, you must not call profane. God changed. We see it in Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount when he says, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's how you've understood God and known God's work for centuries. But now I say to you, God changed. But the author of Hebrews is still able to say, and we are still able to say, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because there are certain core attributes of God that never change. It's this idea of tradition and tradition. God is always loving. It's just the way that God expresses that love changes. God is always present with his people. It's just the way in which God is present changes. God always provides for his people. It's just that the way in which God provides changes. God is always just. But the way in which God demonstrates justice changes. There are certain core aspects of who God is that never change. But the way that God lives those things out does change. So what the early church had to do, hang in there with me for just a few more minutes. What the early church had to do was figure out what we have to figure out today. It's this question of what is central to our identity as the body of Christ, as the people of God. And while staying true to that, how can we adapt to meet the needs of these changing times? What is our big T tradition? What is our little T tradition? And can we continue to honor this while this changes? All right, you're good. So I'll take those back. Thank you very much. I wanted to try to get someone tall and someone short, and it worked out there. So. Okay, so however you feel about the changes that are taking place around us in the world, in the church, however you feel about these changes, the question for us and the challenge to us is, how can we respond in a way that shows the love of Jesus Christ? Because that, at our core, that is what we are about. How can we respond to all of this in a way that shows the love of Jesus Christ? Because we can't isolate ourselves from it. We can't just circle the wagons and retreat into our traditions and shut ourselves off from a changing world. We are called to be the church in the world, ministering to the world. Life and faith are not about avoiding change. Life is a constant and continual process of change. Our bodies, the makeup of our bodies are changing as we sit here. Cells are dying, new cells are being born. We will be, within a span of a couple of years, completely new people. We're in a constant process of change. What life and faith are about is trusting God in the midst of change. That God will be present, and that God will provide. That God can use even this and even us to advance His kingdom and bring about His glory. It's about saying, as the writer of Hebrews says, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid." Like the quotes on the cover of the bulletin, the world changes and all of a sudden the whole sky is on fire. But God says through Isaiah, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned or consumed by it. The world is changing very quickly around us. And there is a sense in which we must change with it, while at the same time, there is something about us that does not change. We just have to figure out which is which. And the way that the church has always done that is by talking it out with God, with each other, and with the world around us. Conversation rooted in faith, not fear. But for now, however you feel about the changes taking place in the church and the world around us, we come to this table together. If you are celebrating the changes that have been taking place, claiming them as victories, this table is a reminder that we also need to be humbled, broken and poured out as Christ was for the world. And if you are feeling broken or frustrated or scared by the changes that have been taking place, this table is a reminder that in Christ's body broken and His blood shed, we find all the strength that we need to keep going. And at this table, we are all reminded that even when we disagree about how the church or the world should change, we are held together by something so much greater than our differences, by that which never changes, the undying love of Jesus Christ, who was broken that we might all be made whole.